Now, the former England football captain, Rio Ferdinand, says he didn't know how to talk to his children about their mother's death. His wife, Rebecca, died of breast cancer in 2015 when she was just 34. The couple's three children are now aged 10, 8 and 5. Rio has been speaking to BBC Radio 5 Live ahead of a documentary tonight on BBC One. He says, to begin with, his children wouldn't speak to him about the death of their mother. But things started to change after Rio learned about a technique that involves asking children to write down their memories and put them in a memory jar.
I didn't know any techniques to speak to the children. I didn't know what buttons to push because I'd been starting conversations with them to try and get how they were feeling out, and they would just shut me down, walk away. Whereas there was things like the memory jar that we came across. So I went to one of these groups with young children who were doing it, and one of the girls said that she had a memory jar and that they just wrote down memories all the time of her mum, even just the littlest things like what smell and stuff like that. So I then introduced that to my children because I thought that's a good way of doing it through drawing and writing. And then once I introduced it, it kind of just opened everything up.
So how do you help children cope with the loss of their mum? Keith Oliver is a father of two. His wife passed away almost 4 years ago. And in studio we have Elaine Robe from Cruise Bereavement. Good morning. You're both very welcome to the programme. Keith, listening there to what Rio had to say, were you able to relate to the struggle with trying to get the emotions from the little ones?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very, very hard. So it was to talk to the children. I have two boys who at the time of the mother's death were 8 and 5. So yeah, we did memory boxes. We had memory boxes, and anything that reminded them of the mum, they put into the boxes and they wrote things down. And we got involved with Cruise, and Cruise did a lot of artwork and a lot of chatting through the counselling with the children. That really helped because the oldest one at the time was struggling in school and finding things difficult and dealing with his emotions, and was coming out in ways which were negative. So with Cruise, working through the process with the counsellor there, he was able to actually speak about what he was doing and talk to me. And he actually, at the end of the whole sessions, he was actually able to turn around and say, you know, the biggest thing that happened through the counselling was I can now talk about my mum without getting upset, which is still times that he gets upset, yes, but that was just a big breakthrough. And then since those things, we are able to talk at any time about their mum and about the memories they have without them necessarily being upset. But there's the happy memories, the happy times as well can now be talked about a lot more.
Elaine, it's so difficult to even contemplate having to ever have this conversation, and yet it happens daily. What would your advice to parents be should one of them become critically ill?
Yes, it is the case that 1 in 29 children across the UK have been bereaved of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. That's almost 10,000 children in Northern Ireland. And I think the thing that to remember is that children grieve in much the same way as adults, but they need a different language for expressing it. So the language that we use with individual children and families is the play, the art, the sand tray, the dollhouse. And for young people, they really want honesty. They really want clarity of what's happening. And children will always be protective of their parents if daddy's grieving. We don't want to make him more sad by talking about mummy. And I think if we remember that, then that is what tells us that they sometimes need a space outside the family where someone's not emotionally involved, where they can express what they're and work through the grief, and also find new memories of in order to continue the bonds with that parent or sibling who's been lost.
Keith, were your children more resilient than you might have expected?
Some respects, you may say so, yeah. I think part of it was they were trying to protect me and didn't want to necessarily see me upset at the time. I think coming through, we are over 3.5 years through, into a process, not through a process. We're moving forward in life. We are looking to a future. But they are able to talk about those things, and even just meeting other children who have been in the same position as them through that. We went to activity days and a residential with Cruise, which was fantastic for the children to be able to be themselves, laugh, have fun, but know that they're surrounded with children who are in exactly the same situation as they have been. So they're not like the you know, special children in school. They're not the children who have got something different about them, which they were very much felt, I think, in primary school. Not that it was a deliberate thing, it was just that they're the ones whose mum has died, whereas they're able to meet and make connections and realise not that they're not special, but they realise that, you know, this happens. There's people out there who are going through the same thing as them. And it's just that bond, that meeting people here in the same place as them really helped them. And as a parent, it helped me to meet other parents who were going through that same struggle of having two caps to wear, being mum, being dad.
And I was just going to ask about that, Keith, because obviously your focus is on your children. And I was wondering, does that in a way help or hinder your grief process? Because so much of your energy is going toward looking after them. Do you have time to think about yourself and your own feelings?
I think at the very start, my whole coping mechanism was just throwing myself into those two roles, doing as much as I could, keeping busy. I had a very supportive family. The grandparents on both sides were there and are there, still doing a lot of work. But my mechanism was just throw myself in, keep busy. At half 10 at night, when you get to sit in the, you know, that's when the loneliness hits. And that's whenever I started just doing DIY, doing anything, so that by the end of the day, I was shattered. I was falling into bed asleep. And that wasn't healthy in itself. So I guess, you know, you have to, talking to people I knew who'd been through the same situation, I was able to sort of get to the point that I have to make a decision that, you know, my life is either moving forward from this point, or I can continually live my life looking back. And I made a very intentional decision with the children that they had lost their mum. They couldn't afford to be losing who their dad was. So I needed to be investing in myself to give them the future that they needed. And so I thought at first that was very hard. It's very hard to try and be happy, to make those happy memories. But, you know, the small steps were, you know, this week we're going to do something that you're going to laugh about and you're going to have a good time. And then, you know, you could build up and you can see there is, you know, there's a chapter that's finished. You know, there's main characters who aren't there in your life, but they are still going to be there. There's more chapter to be written. And the realization that that is the truth, and, you know, life moves forward. It was quite hard to deal with, but it was part of the process that I had to be intentional about, simply for the kids, because they needed to have their future.
Keith, you sound like a wonderful father. A pleasure to talk to you. Keith Oliver there and Elaine Robe from Crew's Bereavement. Thank you both.